We have a very diverse team made of around 21 people who are working from three different continents. So we're working in Africa, we have people working in the US, and in 5 years, we would like to reach 5 million people to give them the information that they need to make right decisions and also access to primary health care, because we also have medical personnel who take on calls of people who have questions, who want further information.
Welcome to Nibelhorn, the Scientist for Future Hamburg podcast. Today we speak with Maria Theresa Kadushi. She lives in Hamburg and in Dar es Salaam, which is the business capital of Tanzania in Africa. Maria is the founder of a digital health app, which won the Digital Innovation Award in Health in 2021. It is an offline mobile application called Afya Mobile. Afya is the Swahili word for health. The app brings crucial health information to local communities. 2 weeks ago, Maria presented the app to the Geneva Health Forum, which is one of the largest health forums in the world. Welcome to Hamburg, Maria. How was your trip to Geneva and what did you take away from it?
Thank you very much, Heidi. It's really such a pleasure being here and thank you for having me. So the theme for this year's forum was COVID-19 pandemic and the environmental emergency, reinventing global health in times of global challenge. And it follows the theme of also World Health Day 2022, which was One Planet, One Health, emphasizing on the importance of a One Health approach, which means the interaction of our health as humans, but with animal health, but also with our environmental ecosystems, so environmental health. And we were looking at the fragility of the world that was shown by the pandemic, on how actual animal health and pathogens and the viruses or bacteria, how they end up affecting humans because of our interconnectedness with the planet. For the case of where I come from, which there were also a lot of discussions around Africa and environmental health in Africa, we see from, for example, neglected tropical diseases, which all of them are pathogens that, or are diseases that come from animals, and how communities interact with animals. So, for example, how animals, even wild animals, now move more from forests or move from their wildlife areas towards residential areas and end up sharing water bodies. They transfer the pathogens that were naturally or in the past not interacting with human beings to humans. And also looking at the fact that bacteria or viruses need an environment to thrive. So when that environment is affected, when there is global warming, like the rising temperatures that we see in Africa, heat waves, wildfires that we have never had, it means that it's affecting animals, it's affecting wildlife, and it's increasing risks of transfer of pathogens or diseases from animals to human beings. So there are a lot of discussions at the Geneva Health Forum on planetary health and why it's important to invest in One Health. When we're looking at health, we have to look at environmental health, we have to look at animal health as well as human health, because they are connected. And I think COVID-19 pandemic, which we're still living in, has shown that, that is actually the fact, and also the effect of what can happen if we don't pay attention and if we're not ready and if we don't invest in approaches that will protect our environment and hence protecting us humans in the ecosystem.
Taking the word COVID, COVID really showed the importance of transmitting information so people are informed in regards to what they have to do or how they can protect themselves. And this is where your app comes in. So tell us about your journey and why you decided to create this app.
Actually, taking it from Geneva Health Forum, which one of the discussions was also around preventative healthcare. So what are the measures that we apply in our communities and globally for global health in preventing diseases or in making sure that communities are aware and are taking those measures? And Mobile Afya, which is my work and the application that we are working on in Tanzania, started back in 2016 with research, and we were looking at some socioeconomic results of lack of health information, where women were having more children than they can take care of. There was a very high rate of child homelessness and child adversity and poverty. So we looked at that and we ended up developing a solution for that particular problem. But as we continued, we learned that no, it's not only sexual and reproductive health that is a problem in these communities. It's also other aspects of health. It's non-communicable diseases. It's neglected tropical diseases. It's environmental health. It's first aid. It's other social issues like gender-based violence or violence against children. So we started the work of first developing content, means developing information, and then using simple technology, using mobile technology and offline USSD technology, which is an old communication protocol that is used in Africa for mobile wallets and fintech. And we applied that for health.
Which means that you don't need a high-tech smartphone. You can just use a very, very simple cell phone. And with that, the people, rural communities can easily access information on these topics.
Yes, exactly. It's offline. It doesn't require internet. Majority of people in Tanzania, East Africa, but also in Africa at large, don't have access to internet, or they don't have reliable access to internet. Which means any solution that is developed, which is high-tech solution, will not reach majority of people. So we looked into that, and that's why we ended up with this very simple application with a goal of disseminating accurate and correct health information in local and native languages. Language is also very, very important because in Africa, for example, in Tanzania, we have over 100 tribes that speak different languages. We have Swahili as the national language, which is taught in school from primary school, which means majority of people speak it. But a lot of information online, or a lot of health information specifically, which is quite complex, is in English, which means majority of people cannot understand. So the aspect of language was also very important with health education and information. And briefly, that's our work.
That's the work. Can you tell us more about the app, your team, and why you are in Germany?
Yeah, sure. So our app, Mobile Afya, first and foremost, we believe that prevention is better than cure. And our main aim is to put accurate and reliable health information in the hands of all. And how we do this, we have developed an offline mobile application that provides health information in local and native languages. We have approval from Ministry of Health in Tanzania, so all of our content is reviewed and approved to be disseminated in public. And we cover topics from diseases. Here we cover communicable diseases, non-communicable diseases.
What is a communicable disease?
Communicable diseases are infectious diseases. So these are diseases that can be transmitted from one person to another. For example, cholera that can be transmitted through water. It can be flu that can be transmitted through air from one person to another, and so forth. But non-communicable diseases, they're not transmittable. So this is like cancer or heart diseases and conditions, or asthma that you have, but you cannot transmit to someone else. And maybe it's genetic, maybe it's caused by your lifestyle and so forth. And also we have neglected tropical diseases, which majority of them are directly from animals or from animal pathogens to humans, and they cause different conditions like trachoma, which is an eye condition from contact with flies, or snake bites that are from snakes that can cause permanent disability and so forth. But also we have information around sexual and reproductive health. This means information from maternal health for pregnant women. We have menstrual health. We have developed an offline algorithm where a woman can track her own period. She can get information of her fertility window, so when she can possibly get pregnant, and her next menstruation. We also have information on first aid, and our goal here is to equip communities with the knowledge to give emergency assistance in times of need. For example, when someone is bleeding or when someone is unconscious, how do you help them while you're working to get them to the hospital? We also have COVID-19, from preventive measures to vaccinations, and information on the disease itself. We have nutrition education, and this is very much tied with environmental health because we advise people on the different food that they can take depending also on their areas, but also nutrition health in general and why it is important. We cover nutrition for special groups, for example, people with disabilities, nutrition for children, and so forth. And we also have parental tools where we equip parents with the knowledge and resources to start conversation with their adolescent children. So it's revolving around adolescent health, but it's targeting parents. And we're working more on information on environmental health. So this is directly what individuals can do towards the environments, the do's and don'ts, how they can preserve their own environment, how they can, for example, manage trash, or how they can recycle and reuse things that they have. So this is something that we are also working on. As I said, our main focuses are on prevention, but also literacy and innovation. It was important for us to use technology, mobile technology, but to use simpler technology that can be accessed by anyone with a mobile phone, regardless of whether they have internet or not.
Here, I just want to ask you, your app seems to be the local doctor. So how many doctors, or what's the accessibility to medical services in rural communities? Is your app a replacement for real doctors, like doctors in the villages?
The app is not a replacement, but the app is there to fill the gap, okay, because we have a very high shortage of doctors. The WHO recommendation is at least one doctor for 500 people. In Tanzania, we have around one doctor for over 10,000 people, based on the number of doctors per population. To put that in perspective, the number here in Germany is one doctor per 300 people. So you can see the difference. And it's even more important that people have access to some medical, some health-related services, because there's already shortage. When someone has symptoms of a certain disease, they need to know what this could be. And they also need to know that they can get care at a healthcare facility, even if that healthcare facility is kilometers away and they have to commute for hours to get there. But they need to know that it's treatable, that what it is, and get that initial information that can help them to now seek healthcare. And so it's not a replacement, but it's there because there's a shortage, and to fill that gap because there's a need on the ground.
The team. Yeah. So tell us about your team. I checked it online and it seems to be quite big, and a lot of knowledge you have there, different, you know, specialists and so on. How does it work?
Yeah, so we have a very diverse team. Mobile AFI is founded by women, four women, two of the founders who are Tanzanian, myself with a background in IT, and my co-founder who is a medical doctor and a public health specialist. But also our founding partners are two women from Europe. One is from Germany, but currently live in Switzerland, and another one is also German. They have more of business and financial backgrounds. But our team is made of around 21 people who are working from three different continents. So we're working in Africa. We have people working in the US, people who are working in Europe. Out of the 21 team members, 12 are medical professionals. So these are medical doctors, public health specialists, clinical health professionals, and so forth. And they do a lot of work around developing content, validating. We also do outreach services where we offer medical services for free to people. We do checkups and so forth. So this team of medical professionals do. We also have people who work on data analysis and looking at trends of our users and what we need to add or not add on the feedback that we receive and so forth. So we're very happy with the team. They're very dedicated. They all work on voluntary basis and all have approached us, so have had interest with our work over the years and joined the team.
Why are you in Germany?
Why not? Yes, I'm in Germany because we have a lot of partners who are in Europe. We are part of the program called SBTA, where it's funded by the GIZ, and they work to match African companies or businesses with European partners and collaborators. So we're part of this program, but also because our partners, organizations that we work with and so forth are based in Europe, and it makes it just closer. So I find my way between Tanzania and Germany a lot, and that's why I'm here.
In regards to Friday for Future, here we call it Friday for Future, and you always say that Friday for Future in Africa is Friday for now. So please share your insights on the urgency of action and why you would call it Friday for now.
Yeah, I think it's a very Western thing. I think it's not a global thing. And personally, I don't like when this is applied in global platforms that are meant to start conversations or to create policies for the whole world, because the effects of climate change are already there in Africa. Of course, maybe we can say this in the Western world, that we want to create change for the future, that this is for the next generation, that only the younger generation or young people are advocating for this or on the front line. But this is not the case in African countries. And when you look at data, these are countries that, the whole continent, its emission is around 2-3% of the global emission. But the effects of climate change in Africa, which places seven countries out of 10 most vulnerable countries to be affected by climate change, are in Africa. You see flooding, you see drought, you see malnutrition, which is directly food security.
Because of the floods, because of the droughts.
Yes, because of climate change, you see more of that now than it was before. We're having heat waves in East Africa, for example, something that we didn't have before. For example, in Kenya, more than 16,000 acres of Mount Kenya being burned from wildfires. This has never happened before. This is vegetation and plantation that will take us so many years to restore. And this affects directly the local communities there. This also affects the wildlife. It also affects communities that live around the mountains. Mount Kilimanjaro in Tanzania, the tallest mountain in Africa, also had wildfires last year. This was the first time we're having wildfires from heat waves that are direct effects of rising temperatures. We have drought in about seven sub-Saharan Africa right now, that animals are dying, that people are not able to plant and harvest food, which means they are malnourished. They don't have enough nutrients. We have more than 30% of children stunted from malnutrition, means they're not able to grow at the rates that they're supposed to grow because they don't have enough nutrients. So when I hear, these conversations or these campaigns about climate for future, what needs to be done in the future, plans that are really catered to only a certain group or certain geographic locations, which is the West, it doesn't really apply to Africa. And I think we need to start changing these narratives, these conversations, because the continent or the communities that contribute the least to climate change or also other effects, global warming, are the ones that are experiencing now the most effects. And that's why I don't think if it's right to have movements, and also it's not right for global platforms and also UN organizations to go with these agenda that the climate issue is more of a future thing, or we have to put plans and measures that are continuous in the future because we see the effect now. And always the poor communities, the marginalized communities are going to see those effects first. And that's what we see in Africa, that these effects are already experienced now. And maybe someone might not understand, I mean, what do you mean? Animals are dying, so why is that important? But for livestock, is something that's about, for example, in Tanzania, close to 40% of the population who are doing agriculture also do livestock keeping. When someone keeps livestock, they depend on vegetation, they depend on grass, so they take their cattle out, the cattle eat and drink from water bodies that are there, they get milk, they sell milk, this is how they buy food, this is how they take their children to school and so forth. When you have drought, someone goes from having 100 cows to 10 cows in a month because there's no water for the cows to drink. There's no grass for the cows to eat. It doesn't only mean that the animals are dying, which is already bad enough for the ecosystem in general. It also means this person loses their ability to earn income. It means it drives the whole family or all the dependents of this family to poverty. So you go down the same circle. The effects of climate to a continent that is already underdeveloped, and how that takes it even back, the efforts towards development even back, because it affects the population, it affects communities who are already marginalized and poor.
Yeah, not just talking about animals like cattle, but I also experienced, I went to a local community in Africa where elephants had destroyed gardens from women, and they were really upset because it takes them a lot of work to, you know, create a garden and to feed their family. And during the night, just a group of animals came and ate everything they found there. So what you were saying before, that wild animals coming into rural areas, not because they're fancy to, but because that's the only place where they find food and water. And this is an additional stress on communities. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was thinking about, it's not just about droughts, which is the extreme end, but also the change in weather patterns, which makes it really difficult for farmers to plant seeds and, you know, to grow crops, because we just can't forget there is no irrigation system.
No.
Once the seeds are dried up, that's it. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be a drought, it's just a change in weather pattern. And that's the most severe thing about climate change. Mm-hmm. So makes the picture even bigger.
Yeah. I mean, that is direct cause of malnutrition. And malnutrition in, you know, I see living in Europe now, how much food is wasted. Looking at data, for example, in 2020, one out of five people in Africa was malnourished. Means they didn't have enough food to, I mean, sustain the nutrients requirements of their bodies. And the changing in weather patterns means people who farm, who depends on farming, we have rain seasons, we have farming seasons, the same as we have planting seasons and harvest seasons. People farm and they plant, the rain does not come, which means for that whole year, because in majority of these places, rain season is just one season. When rain doesn't come on time, or the time that is predicted from history, it comes 2 months later, and it comes not only just regular rain, it comes with flooding. It's already late for the plants to grow. I mean, these communities, I mean, we're talking about, for example, a whole region or regions, there will be food shortages in that year. But also when it comes with flooding, because most of the times when rain delays, it comes late and it comes, for example, it floods places. It means even for the little that they have, for example, vegetables that can grow in a shorter time, they lose even that. And you find that there's, of course, there's no drought, but there is communities, regions, millions of people who don't have food to eat. And there is no food for them to eat just because of the changing weather patterns.
So you would say, you would call it Friday for now?
I would call it. I mean, I wouldn't even call it Friday. I think the Friday is such a good campaign, and I've taken part of it. I think it's really, it's incredible. But I don't think if there should just be one day that we advocate for the climate crisis. I think this really needs to be a priority. And I like what Greta says. She says that you, when your house is on fire, you just don't sit. When your house is on fire, you don't say, ah, I'll wait until next week on Fridays when I will think about like calling the, or doing something about it. You do it every day. And because the campaign, as good as it is centered around this problem is for the future. And yes, it's good. And I think it's applicable in Europe, but it cannot be a global agenda because, as I said, in other places like in Africa, this is already happening. So I'd say climate for now, not only Fridays for climate, but I think every day we need to advocate and we need to do something. We need to take action measures. We need to pressure our governments. We need to pressure global bodies and decision makers towards taking tangible measures to, for example, reduce emission and to make sure that we take care of our planet.
As you just said, you know, Africa and other places, so this, you're just talking about Africa, but the situation is similar in India, situation is similar in other places of the global south.
As a matter of fact, just data from Pakistan, Pakistan has 40% of children who are experiencing malnutrition, 40% that are stunted.
And that's the northern part of
Yes.
Not of India. I mean, it's not part of India, but it's more north than many places in India where they have incredible heat waves.
Yes. But then, I mean, still the largest number is in Somalia, where 50%, half of the children in that country are experiencing malnutrition. It means these children are not able to grow as they should. It also means that a lot of them will grow with health challenges, with some health issues, and they'll not be able to also contribute to their own livelihoods. They'll not be able to produce or work at their full potential. And this has the effect towards their whole life. You have half of a population that is not fully able and capable of doing work or contributing to the society at their full potential. And I mean, it's a larger problem than just what we're seeing currently.
Yeah. So how do you think students can develop a more globally, talking especially to students who might be listening or general, we as humans, how can we develop a more globally inclusive mindset and be active, not just locally, but also in regards to our global community?
I think we need to learn about the global community. We really need to understand what is happening globally because climate change is a global issue. And as we see that it doesn't matter who is contributing the most, it doesn't matter who is not taking measures. It could be China, it could be the US, it could be some countries in Europe, but the effects of those actions are going to affect everybody. It's very unfortunate that it's affecting places that are already underdeveloped with a lot of other challenges. First, we're already experiencing the effects of it, but also because these are already vulnerable places. They're places that had challenges already. They had poverty. They had other socioeconomic problems. So when you couple it with climate change, it means they're having more problems and it limits their development. But students, people in academia, innovators and so forth, they have first to learn and to really take the time to understand what is happening globally. If you are to create a movement, how can you make everyone part of it? How can it be inclusive? How can it address climate challenges of people, especially people who are more vulnerable to these challenges? You have to learn factors like, for example, in Mozambique, a whole country, a city was destroyed by flooding, that 90% of its infrastructure, 90% was completely destroyed. And the WFP ranked it at the same rate with Syria and Yemen because of that destruction. And this is a direct effect of climate change. So when you have information like that at hand, even though you might not see so much of that happening in Europe or in the West, you'll understand that, okay, really this is an emergency because the effects of it are here and are here now as it is. And so that will be the first thing. I mean, also that is centered in my work, that I believe having information and having education in our aspect, on the aspect of our work is health information, but having information allows you to make informed decisions.
So that's the goal of your app, so people can make informed decisions.
Yes, about their own health and well-being. But when it comes to the climate, when you're as informed, then it means you will make some informed decisions towards what are your priorities, what should be the agenda, what should we focus on, how can we really make difference. When you're talking about saving, for example, the energy that we're using, where should you start? Well, where should be the emphasis on? And also, when we're talking about, for example, rising sea level, where are the sea level rising? You learn about places like West Africa, countries like Togo, where they will lose 56% of their coastline that will be gone in the next 10 years. I mean, this is already happening, and it's happening every year. You go there, you see the effects, you read about research and things that were covered around that, and you know that, no, the work has to be done now, and maybe you decide how you can individually play part of it. But the first thing is to study, to learn, to understand, to get the right information, and then to make the informed decision.
Yeah, I went to a fisher village in Fiji, which had to be relocated from the coastline because they just couldn't live there anymore due to salination and flooding. And it was really heartbreaking to see how severely the community was affected by that relocation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going on globally. Yeah. So how can listeners support you or promote you? What's your ambition with your health app? What are your goals? Share whatever you want to share.
Yeah, so far we have reached tens of thousands of people. We have about 12,000 people actively using our application, and we want to increase that number by 100,000 by end of this year. And in 5 years, we would like to reach 5 million people to give them the information that they need to make the right decisions. And also, we want to give them access to primary healthcare, access to the first medical personnel, because we also have medical personnel who answers questions, who take on calls of people who have questions, who want further information. And that is our plan. How can we get supported? I mean, first step, visit our website, www.mobileafia.com. Learn about our work, learn about what we do. You can sponsor people who are in need, marginalized groups of people, to access this information. We have a very small subscription fee. It's €1.60 per year. So you can donate and support or sponsor communities that you might want for them to access this health information, and also to access primary healthcare services through medical personnel who are there to offer further services. But also you can partner with us. So if you're doing work around public health, around preventive healthcare, in innovation, if you do financing around digital health, I mean, we would like to meet you, would like to learn more about what you're doing, and would hope that you take interest into our work.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was really a pleasure. I really do enjoy these conversations, and I think having conversations is the first step, that we discuss, that we bring awareness and some light into some of these issues. But coming from Africa, we also bring some perspective from these countries to the world or to Europe, so that people might have an idea about what's going on there. And also they might be, I mean, driven, or we might initiate some interest into work around East Africa.
I wish you the very best with your work, and encourage everybody to check out Maria's app and website.
You can also find us on social media, Mobile Afia. Type on any social platform, Twitter, Instagram, and so forth. You can also see our work there.